Let's begin by having both of you introduce yourself. Jim, why don't you start?
I'm Jim Houston. I'm the chair of the board for the New Credit Union, Community Promise Credit Union. And I've been with the project for about 3 years, and Lee kind of dragged me into it, but not really dragged, because he presented the idea to me, and I really jumped on it because I saw the significance of it. And so my background is, I have a business background. I was in corporate finance for almost 30 years, and so I felt that maybe my background could help me contribute to this project. And hopefully that has been so. So I've lived in Kalamazoo area since I came here as a student to Western in 1962. So I've been around for a while. And I watched the community evolve and re-evolve. And so now hopefully it's on the upswing of another involvement. I watched the various neighborhoods transition from one extreme to the other, especially Edison neighborhood, as well as the north side. So when I was presented with this idea of this credit union in Edison neighborhood, it appealed to me. So that's why I'm still with it.
And Lee?
I'm Lee Kirk. I'm the Community Relations Director for Community Promise. I started with the project 4 years ago as the project manager, leading a really outstanding team of individuals that put together 300-plus pages of documents to submit to the National Credit Union Administration. We got our charter approved last fall. Our building is built. We're open for business, and we're looking forward to celebrating our grand opening with the community next Tuesday at the Edison Neighborhood Association, which is right around the corner from the credit union. We're located at 1313 Portage Street.
So what will the Community Promise Federal Credit Union provide that is currently not being provided in the community?
Well, one of the things that we provide is an alternative for people to get their financial activities, to be involved in their financial activities in Edison neighborhood, rather than go to payday lenders and check cashing people who really don't have their best interests at heart. Right now, with these payday lenders, it can really drive people into poverty, and has many of them. And by the time they take out a series of these payday loans with these people, interest rates can skyrocket as high as 400%. And how does anyone recover from those kinds of interest rates? They don't. They just go into poverty. And so we hope to have be the alternative in the Edison neighborhood to that, so we can offer services that much more affordable, you know, rates things than these other. So that's the alternative. That's what we hope to contribute to that neighborhood.
And currently in Edison, there really is not an alternative. There's not a financial institution, no bank, no credit
union. No banks or credit unions there at this time, just these payday lenders and check cashing people. So I think there hasn't been a bank there at least 10 years, maybe 15 years in that neighborhood. So hopefully we can change that.
How is the credit union going to work financially? In other words, how do you make this go when other financial institutions have not been in the Edison neighborhood for a while? What's the business model here?
Well, the business model initially, Gordon, is going to be driven by volunteers. A community development credit union like ours, when it first gets chartered, is on a pretty tight regulatory leash. We can only make loans up to $5,000. Our main products are going to be loans in the $500 to $2,500 range. Probably one of our most important products is what we call the payday alternative loan. This is a loan at 18% that can be repaid over 6 months, and it includes a savings component. In other words, if you need $600, we'll give you $800, and we'll put $200 into a savings account for you. And when you've paid off that loan, not only have you paid off the loan and helped your credit rating, you now have $200 plus the interest that $200 earned in the bank. So instilling those kinds of sound financial habits in people is an important part of what we do. And by building a savings component into the loan product, we try to refocus people and get them to set different priorities so that they understand a little bit more about how to manage their money.
And is that the whole idea of financial education that comes along with a community development credit union?
Yeah, there will be a financial component to it. When they apply to us for a loan, there's a certain mini educational model that they will have to go through before they can get the loan. So they know how what they're getting into, how money works, how borrowing works, you know, all of this. We want to educate the people, not just give them money, but also educate them as to what's involved here. And so that would be an important part of it.
Yeah. Our CEO, Mike Ross, says that every time we interact with a customer is an opportunity for at least a little bit of financial education. And that's also a way for us to build relationships and trust with our members. In lower-income neighborhoods, people aren't familiar with financial institutions. They don't understand financial institutions. They may have had bad experiences with financial institutions. So building trust through that education piece is a very important part of what we do. And working with our many, many community partners is another way to build that trust. By having our partners validate us, that gives us credibility in the eyes of potential members.
Community development credit unions have been around for a few years now, several cities around the country. Are there some models out there that Kalamazoo was trying to follow to maybe pattern after someone who you think has really done this right?
Not directly, no. Community development credit unions have been around since the 1930s. We have worked with both the National Credit Union Administration, which charters credit unions like ours, and with a national nonprofit called the National Federation of Community Development Credit Unions. There are about 240 community development credit unions around the country. They're in, I think, 48 states. We've been in touch with credit unions in St. Louis, in San Francisco, and Chicago, in Louisiana and Mississippi, all of them community development credit unions that served quite different constituencies. We've also had conversations with people from North Carolina and New Mexico about how to reach and market to the Hispanic community, which is another important part of what we do.
Especially being in the Edison neighborhood.
Yeah, that's Edison neighborhood. That's a neighborhood I've watched transition over the years. And it has gone from, you know, fairly your average kind of neighborhoods that existed back in the early 60s to now the ethnicity has changed in the areas. At first it became kind of like Afrocentric and now become more like Hispanic. And that's a combination of Afrocentric and Hispanic in that neighborhood now. But I think the majority, if I would say, guess is probably a little over 50% Hispanic, I would say. Most of them attend the local Catholic church there on Lake Street, St. Joseph Catholic Church, which I belong to. And so I get to interact a lot with the Hispanic community through the church. And so many of them have expressed their frustrations of not having financial institutions there. And also now they're expressing their anticipation of having one there. So we look forward to serving that community. Matter of fact, our membership would be extended to anyone who lives or works in Kalamazoo proper. So that's...
Or who volunteers or goes to school.
Or go to school, right. So it's not just confined basically to the boundaries of Kalamazoo City, but to people who are involved in the Kalamazoo community one way or the other, that membership will be extended to them.
What does a community development credit union do in terms of addressing the issue of poverty?
We do a couple of things. A community development credit unions, Gordon, focus on two things. First, they focus on providing fair and affordable financial services. And second, they focus on education. Education not only for members, but in our case, we feel that educating students, educating young people is very important. We feel that way for a couple of reasons. One, primarily, it's important to have students at an early age learn to understand how money works. I know that's something that our funders feel is very important. Working with the students is also a way you can reach the parents by being at school events, by having kids come in and open accounts, things of that sort. You can reach the parents as well. We've had conversations with Kalamazoo Public Schools and more recently with Kalamazoo Communities in Schools about programs we can do at the two elementary schools in the Edison neighborhood, Edison Elementary and Washington Writers Academy. We want to take our programs to more schools in the city, but right now we're focusing on those two schools. And we have some really exciting things in the works. We've been in touch with folks at Edison and at Washington about programs we can set up. We visited a community, a credit union in Jackson called CP Federal Credit Union. It used to be Consumers Power Federal Credit Union. They are known nationally for their school-based programs. They have student-run credit unions in over 50 schools in South Central Michigan, including elementary schools. And we have a team of folks, a growing team of volunteers who are looking at how we can bring financial education to the schools. We've presented to all of the communities and schools site coordinators. They're very excited about the possibilities.
So that that education component will be very important to us, and I think we'll probably have a special educational committee that will be overseeing some type of program that we develop in coordination with the schools, et cetera. So we're going to be looking heavily into that servicing that area.
Are these some things that, for lack of a better term here, might fly under the radar in a community normally, that when people think of issues of poverty, they think jobs, they don't think of some of the day-to-day things, having a place where you can have a savings account, a checking account, having someone that might teach you a little bit about how to manage money and not get into a cycle of problems where you're just constantly owing someone. I'm guessing, Lee, maybe this is maybe a little more directed at you because you were on the ground floor of this, but was that what you were thinking when you started to get involved in the idea?
Yes, absolutely. It's really an unmet need in our community, and this isn't just my sentiment. This isn't just my opinion. When I go and talk to people at other nonprofits, Loaves and Fishes Ministry with community, ministers at churches, be they churches in those neighborhoods or the downtown churches that all have services of various sorts for folks, every one of those organizations tells us that they see the need for the people they serve to have this type of financial institution. They absolutely see the need, and they're really excited that we've started this venture.
You know, I know for me, coming from a very poor background, I saw firsthand how not being able to, or knowing how to manage your funds, what meager funds you had, put you further behind the eight ball. And that's what I see people in the neighborhoods that we want to serve who have very meager funds. And if you don't know how to carefully use those funds to invest those funds, then you're not going to get ahead. And so hopefully one of the things we want to do is help people learn how to use their funds, save their funds, and in the end, get ahead, get out of the conditions that they're currently in. And like I say, by having a savings account component that we want to provide for them, that gives them additional resources, and through us, hopefully help manage those resources. And that's where you start with helping people lift themselves up, is help manage what you have, you know. And I saw the consequences of people not knowing how to manage what they have. And I think that's one of the big services that we're going to be providing for these people. Mm-hmm. And let me just further state that we're not there just to serve low-income people. We want to serve everyone at every income bracket, too, because one can feed off the other.
I mean, there is an unmet need, Gordon, and just this week on Marketplace, I heard a story about a big study that was done by the Pew Charitable Trust on payday lenders. I haven't had a chance to look at all of it just because it just came out and it's substantial. But one of their pie charts really jumped out at me. The average payday loan borrower can only afford to repay $100 a month. The average amount it takes in a two-week period to repay a payday loan is $430. That's just a staggering figure to me. And 90% of payday loans nationally aren't repaid on time, and this makes it obvious why. And most people who take out a payday loan from one lender will go to another. Michigan law, and the law in a lot of other states, restricts the amount that one payday lender can lend to one individual, and have outstanding at any one time, but there is nothing that keeps that person from going to a second, a third, or a fourth payday lender and getting another loan, and the downward cycle becomes very, very hard to reverse at that
point. And correct me if I'm not correct on this, Lee. I think the payday lenders and people like that are the least regulated of all the financial type of things.
They're not regulated in nearly the same way the banks and credit unions are.
Okay. Anything else either of you would like to add here before we wrap it up?
Well, just, you know, we would welcome people, depending on when this story gets on the air, to come to our open house Tuesday from 5 to 7 at the Edison Neighborhood Association on Washington Street. That's just off Portage, right around the corner from our credit union at 1313 Portage Street.
That'll be February 26th.
Thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.